I'll call the meeting of the Sussex County Council, June 22nd, to order. First item is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker, do you have anything?
Yes, we do have several recommended changes. First, we would like to delete approval of the minutes. Board appointments, we'd like to defer on that until next week, if possible, since we have so much on the agenda with the budget and the budget public hearings.
Okay.
And we give, I know Mr. Vincent wasn't here last week, but we give him some more time. I know he's been out of town.
I want to listen to the tape that week. I'll be fine. Next Tuesday's fine.
I asked Mr. Walsh to come, but so he's available if you have any questions.
Is there an echo out there? Something sounds like it's, sounds funny.
Hypersensitive or something.
I have an appointment, Jeff Hudson, which I'll ask you to put on for next week as well.
Yeah, okay. And also, under executive session, we do not have a need for executive session this week either.
Wow. Okie dokie.
So I'm assuming nobody has any questions for Mr. Walsh there.
Guess not. Anything else for the agenda? If not, I ask for a motion to approve it as amended by Mr. Baker.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have two letters. The first one is to Detention Sam Wilson and Joan Deaver. Thank you for your donation of $500 to the Milford Hospital Fair. Sincerely, Lida Wells. The second one is from Polytech High School of Kent County. Dear Envirothon sponsor, as you're aware, Polytech A and Polytech FFA teams have recently competed in the annual Delaware Envirothon competition. Our teams placed second and fourth in the state. This helped to reinforce the many skills learned in our environmental class at school, as well as to help us pursue our chosen career fields. Not only did we learn skills to aid us in the pursuit of environmental career area, but we also developed our social skills that are critical in communicating and getting along in our community. The Envirothon competition allowed us to test our knowledge and see how we compared to other students in the state. This event goes a long way in strengthening our confidence in a very competitive job market. For these reasons, we want to thank you for supporting this rewarding event, because without your continued support, we would miss out on an exciting and beneficial experience. In addition, the monetary awards our teams and class have received will go a long way in purchasing the necessary training materials that are badly needed for our class. And it is signed by all the Polytech Envirothon participants. And those are the only two letters that I have.
Great. Anything else from council?
Yeah, I have something. I think I'd like to maybe bring it up now. It was an email correspondence, and it was and I see the individual here. It was from Jeannie Sisk. It was a reference to amnesty, and I brought it up to Mr. Moore last week, and there was a request for amnesty for this shed issue. And I just would like Mr. Moore, if he would share some of his thoughts with us on this request.
Well, the issue came up apparently on several occasions, and more recently it came up during the manufactured housing committee meetings as to whether or not amnesty should be given, and it was requested specifically for one or two incidences. You know, the issue that, and I had announced during those meetings that this would be something that our committee could not resolve, that this would be something that would have to go before the county council itself, because that would be a policy decision as opposed to something our committee could make. If you want to know my personal view or legal view on this issue, once you start giving amnesty for certain things, you need to look at potential unintended consequences, because it's being asked for one or two specific cases. At what point do you then open the door for other cases? So if you vote on this issue, I think you should look at that. It's being specifically requested in some manufactured housing parks, in particular some of the older parks that have some very limited space requirements. But if you do that, are you then going to be asked to have to address issues in other communities? And I don't mean manufactured housing communities, but other residential subdivisions. Are you going to be looking at this in the farm community? Because once that word out there is out there, amnesty, I think that there could be some unintended consequences. But this is a policy decision that is up to the council.
All right, my only comment is we on this particular issue, it's just a shed. We've gone, I think, you know, far too long. We've used so many man hours of county employees, legal opinions, and at the board and here and everything else. And if this is such a little issue, I think the council needs to, figure out how can we resolve this? Because, I mean, there's big issues out there, and we've allowed this to just kind of keep rolling on. So what you're saying is the county council needs to take this bull by the horn and do either we could do it, but then there's these unintended consequences. So I think I'd like you all to just consider thinking about it, and then maybe next week we come up with some kind of consensus or some kind of way that we can resolve little issues like this. If we can't deal with little issues, what are we going to do if we've got a big issue comes along? So I'm just concerned that it's just going on and on and on, and we had this committee, and maybe somehow we can pull it all together. So is there any consensus that we try to do this?
Well, if there's another way to do it without unintended consequences, I would be interested in finding out what it would be.
But I'd like to just bring it to a head.
Where the issue is right now in the one particular request, there is an appeal that the person who's requesting has filed with the appropriate court. And so this person is now asking, instead of having to proceed on with that appeal, that amnesty be granted instead, so the appeal would no longer be necessary. And Mr. Lank, am I stating that correctly?
That's correct.
I think the problem is if we start granting amnesty, I just fear we would open up a much larger can of worms that down the road could come back and really be a tremendous thing to deal with as far as numbers and reasons and justifications. And I mean, there's already an appeal process. That appeal process is being followed. Why not just let it go through the process? And I just have a fear if you start doing something for one or two things, that next thing we got 5 or 10 more and 5 or 10 more. And five, I mean,
Right.
That would be my fear, that we would just start something that would be an ongoing every week. We'd deal with some kind of a.
But Mike, keep in mind, this little issue is tied up a lot of county government energy and time, and it costs money for our employees to, go back and forth. So I don't know. If somebody's got a better way to or an idea, maybe next week we can put it on, and maybe Dave will just put on the issue of amnesty, and we'll just vote it up or down, and then we'll move on to another one. But maybe at that point, Dave, maybe you and the staff could come up with an alternative if amnesty's not the answer. But there's got to be an answer to a little issue like a shed and not having to force people to go to court and spend a lot of money. So it just...
I would request that if we're going to discuss that issue, that Mr. Burrell be here. Mr. Burrell is the attorney for Board of Adjustment. He is the one that has dealt with this, and I know that he has some feelings about this issue, and they should be heard.
That would be very fine, but I just think it's time to try to get over this hump. All right. I mean, if everybody comfortable with that,
sure.
Sam, you're comfortable with that now? Okay. Let's proceed in that fashion. Thank you.
Any other correspondence? I would like to recognize State Representative Biff Lee, who is also the president of the Sussex County Firemen's Association. Biff, I hope you can stick around. We have a legislative update with Hal Godwin in a few minutes, and your assistance may be necessary if we have some tough questions. Moving on, Mr. Baker, administrator's report and other items.
Yes, we have several items to go over. First, the mortgage assistance seminar on July 7th in this chambers from 4 to 7 p.m. Representatives from the Delaware State Housing Authority and the county's Community Development Housing Division will provide a seminar to home buyers, builders, realtors, lenders, and any others interested. purpose of the seminar is to provide additional information regarding the Delaware State Housing Authority's single-family mortgage revenue bond. At the present times, this program is underutilized in Sussex County. 30-year, 4.75% fixed mortgages are available for first-time home buyers, and we hope that this seminar will make more Sussex Countyans aware of the program to take advantage of it. Conservation District Tax Dish Request. At the request of the Sussex Conservation District, a petition was signed which may lead to the establishment of a new tax ditch district. The county would be part of this district, which partially includes property the county owns near the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility. This proposed tax ditch district would help with drainage concerns in the area. The Airport Advisory Committee on June 23rd, a meeting of the Airport Advisory Committee will be held at 7 p.m. at the Emergency Operations Center. Attached is an agenda. DelDOT Route 26 detour routes meeting. As per the attached notice, DelDOT will be holding an informational meeting regarding Route 26 detour routes at the Millville Town Hall on Monday, June 28th from 4 to 7 p.m. DelDOT Route 1, Route 30, grade separated intersection workshop. DelDOT will also be holding a workshop for public input regarding the grade separation proposal for the intersection of Route 1 and Route 30 south of Milford. Will be held at the Carlisle Fire Company from 4 to 7 p.m., and I believe that's the same date as on June 28th. Amateur Radio Field Day. Attached is a press release regarding Amateur Radio Field Day, sponsored by the Sussex Amateur Radio Association, which will occur on Saturday, June 26th, from 1 to 6 p.m. at the Marvel Museum in Georgetown. And finally, we are pleased to announce that Moody's Investor Service has upgraded Sussex County's bond rating from AA2 to AA1. As per the attached release, quote, the rating upgrade primarily reflects the county's substantially improved and healthy financial position maintained by prudent fiscal management. Quote, the A1 or AA1 rating also reflects the county's moderately sized tax base that experienced modest growth through 2010, strong socioeconomic factors, manageable debt position, and strong management, unquote. This reflects the highest AA rating that Moody's offers. We wish to thank our county staff and especially the finance department for this bond upgrade. It was just announced yesterday. It is a substantial accomplishment to receive an upgrade, especially during such difficult economic times.
Well, that's a pleasant surprise, Mr. Baker. As you say, in these difficult economic times, it's almost unprecedented that governments are being upgraded. I think many of them are being downgraded. So it's a tribute to you and Ms. Webb, Ms. Jennings, Ms. Roth, and the rest of the county staff that has been working so hard. I certainly want to extend our appreciation from the council. Does anyone else have something to share?
I think that they did it without raising their taxes. And that's what most government thinks. That's the way to manage. Just raise more taxes, get more taxes, and more to get, the more they want to spend. But I appreciate this, our budget people here that have been able to budget our finances without really have to go out and ask more taxes. I just appreciate a good job you're doing there.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, tomorrow, beginning at 8:30 in the morning, there is a seminar on regional land use planning put on by the University of Delaware and some people from, I think it's a Greater Lewis Foundation, and it's open to the public at the Verdon Center, 8:30 in the morning.
Lawrence, by any chance, are you haven't letting anybody go over to that to attend?
I had plans, but I do have a number of things in Dover I need to attend the early afternoon.
Well, the commissioners were aware of it. I'm not sure how many are
involved. Okay.
Does any council members have something else for Mr. Baker? If not, we'll move on to Mr. Godwin. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of council. I want to review with you a number of issues in the legislature, and I also want to thank you for recognizing Cousin Biff Lee, who is here with us today. I should tell you that Representative Lee is a tremendous resource to us as I try to address the concerns that you assign me as I visit the legislature. He gives me advice and helps to steer me in the right direction to properly address your concerns. He's a tremendous help and certainly deserves our appreciation. As I review the list that I had provided for you last Friday in your package, I wanted to just point out a couple of things. First, House Bill 300, which I had mentioned, is a FOIA adjustment or FOIA amendment requiring us to respond within 10 days to requests for FOIA. There is an amendment in that bill that would allow for a time extension. You mentioned a concern about having extensions of time. The bill does contain such a paragraph that talks about if the information being requested is not readily available, we can give the requestor an acknowledgement of their request and have up to another 20 days to provide, we can have a reasonable time to provide that information. So that time extension is in the bill that you had mentioned. House Bill 292 is on the Senate agenda today. This is the bill that we had introduced to adjust our tax warrant dates. This will allow us to more accurately issue our property tax bills closer to the date that the tax warrant is actually assembled. Therefore, this will remove a number of our billing errors that we've had over the years where we've billed a property for their taxes and the property has transferred to a new owner in the meantime. So 292 is on the Senate agenda today, and I do believe that it will pass without too much concern because most folks that I've spoken to about the bill understand it's basically an efficiency improvement bill. House Bill 449 is another bill that we've asked to have introduced. That bill has been passed through the House with Representative Lee's assistance, I should add. And it is been considered in the Senate committee. The committee chair in that Senate committee was Senator Bethany Hall Long. She's released that issue from committee, and it is on the, it is in committee tomorrow. And Bethany Hall Long has assured me that it should be released from committee. I have spoken to the committee members, including Senator Peterson. I spoke with her at length yesterday, and I've been assured the bill will be released from committee. The next bill, we have some friends here that I want to let come up front and speak to you. The next bill on my agenda is House Bill 419. This is the Dangerous Dog Amendment. There's been some controversy about the whole dog issue, and our friend Pat Emery from DENREC has come this morning to speak with you about that directly. Mr. Emery.
Mr. President, certainly a privilege to be down here with you all today. I imagine you're getting kind of tired of seeing me coming back at the same time. It's the third trip down here to talk about dogs. I just wanted to bring some clarity to this issue. I guess apparently we had a vote down here at one point in time. It wasn't really a vote. It was a deferred type of situation. There were some issues up at the hall with Hal, and we got that straightened up with a letter. And now there's been a lack of calling it right, a resolution. Is that what it was that you?
There's a motion. A motion to not support the House Bill 419.
Okay.
Last week.
Well, what I wanted to do is kind of explain to you a little bit where you are with dogs in general. And I think I did this before, but maybe I didn't do a very good job at it. Maybe I can do a better job this time. Last year, as you're well aware, the vast majority of dog control was transferred to the counties. And that included actually the licensing portion of it as well. All the proceeds associated with the licensing for each one of the counties and you established your programs actually comes back to the counties. So you've done all that and it's set up. You're running dog control as it stands right now. What happened was an error on our part, apparently, there was portions of dog control in Title VII that should have been transferred to Title IX. And for some unknown reason, they weren't. And basically, it was actually the nut of dog control. It was actually dogs running at large. So when you think about dog control, the first thing that comes about some, old rover's out there cruising around the neighborhood and somebody needs to pick him up. He's running at large. So that portion of it wasn't transferred for some unknown reason. The other section of it that originally wasn't the intent of the department to transfer, but we decided to because we didn't have any kind of revenue to run that program, was dangerous dogs. I think I've explained that to you on the last couple occasions I was down here. Dangerous dogs is basically a panel type of situation. It's not going to cost the county any more money. It's run through the program that you already have through SPCA that you're dealing with your contract. They handle all that work. It's just a matter of where that authority actually sits. Should it be sitting in Title VII under the state, or should it be sitting under Title IX with the counties? And we felt it should be in with the counties, because all dog control would be under the same, basically under you all's control. The issue associated with the dangerous dogs, as the panel is, as such, it gives you the authority to actually set that panel in the future. Right now, the state's got the panel set up. There's parameters associated with it, and the guides are in the statute or in the code here, as is the bill states in 419. But it gives you the authority to replace those individuals as time goes on with people that you feel fit that should be in that position. So the way it's set up is each county will have a representative to come forward when the decision has to be made on who's going to be on the dangerous dog panel. Because the dangerous dog panel, you only have one for the whole entire state. They usually meet in Kent County. Now, the issue associated with dangerous dogs that was going to be the cost was the issue associated with the court stenographer. And I think your attorney, Everett Mork, had a good idea the day we were down here, and it made good sense. The reason why we went with a court stenographer at one point in time, we had a recorder at one of the events or at one of the hearings, and the information that was recorded had clarity issues. And when it went the next step up to court, the judge couldn't understand it, so he dismissed the case. So what happened was we went with a court stenographer at that point. As Everett said, today, with the clarity or the ability with the recording devices you have today, you shouldn't have that issue. And if somebody does want to elevate that, then you could actually have the court stenographer take that tape and record it off of that, or go ahead and do her work off of that. So that eliminates that so-called $400 charge. So there shouldn't be any charge associated with this. Also, 419 did some clarifications associated with voluntary compliance as far as the VAC issues. I'm trying to remember. Voluntary Assessment Center with the JP courts. And the way that's set up is that when you get a ticket, somebody does something wrong, instead of having to actually show up in court and go before the judge, you can actually just write a fine out. You get a ticket and you actually send it in like it's a traffic violation. So we've made that a lot easier for the counties as well. And as the money comes in and flows, they'll look at what county it came from, and it'll be earmarked to come back to you all. So this thing is more or less doing nothing more than transferring from 7 to 9 and giving you what you probably should have had, with the exception of dangerous dogs in the first place. And we've added dangerous dogs in. I don't see where dangerous dogs is going to be an issue, but again, some people think it might be. I'm trying to assure you that I gave you the number some time back of how many dangerous dog cases you had in Sussex County last year, and I think it was 1, and it was handled that way. So there wasn't a tremendous amount of cost or effort, shouldn't be, on the county's part. What happens in the future, I can't actually tell you. There's been a couple amendments to the bill already. One was to clear up some verbiage associated with a voluntary assessment, and the other one was to clear up some verbiage associated with service dogs. So basically, in a nutshell, that's what it is. So I'm just trying to tell you that you're not getting anything new that you didn't already have. The reality of it is, you also, one thing I did miss, the ability for you all to swear in officers. As it stands right now, the department has to swear in the officers, and that ability should be, you should have that ability through the counties to be able to do that. So you delegate that to your contractor, in this case, Kent SPCA, to go ahead and swear in those officers. So that's the parts that's coming along. It's nothing new. Reality, again, it should have been all in one package the first go-around, but that wasn't the case. So what I'm doing today is I'm coming down here as a courtesy call. It's already passed the House. It's in the Senate right now. It's going to be coming up in the Senate, and we're moving forward with it. But it would tickle me to death if I could get you all on board. But if you feel that you don't want to, then so be it. But I got a good rapport with you all, and I don't want you to think that I'm trying to push something that you didn't know about. So I'm down here to just give a courtesy call. I got Bob Phillips from the Attorney General's office with me in case you all have any questions, and we'd be happy to answer anything you might have.
Mm-hmm. Any questions from counsel?
Well, the dangerous dog legislation, that's merely to set up a panel to hear cases on dangerous dog cases. Is that what I understand the dangerous dog legislation does?
Yeah, what it basically, and Bob, you can jump in here in a minute if you want, but basically the dangerous dog, the way it's set up is that if an individual's dog attacks another dog or mm-hmm. some livestock or a domestic animal of some sort,
or a person,
for instance, then that dog's been taken in by the SPCA and held. And then the individual who owns the dog has to ask to have the committee or the panel come forward to try to get their dog back or whatever means they might deem necessary to control that animal. And that's when the dangerous dog panel comes together. Now, if for some reason the panel that makes a decision that is contrary to that individual who owns the dog and they want to have that elevated, there was a mechanism in there at one point in time. There was an issue associated with legal fees that the county were concerned that they'd have to hire an attorney to handle this in court. And that's there's an agreement that's been worked out, and you all have a copy of it, that the Attorney General's office will handle any of that type of thing in the Court of Common Pleas or in Superior Court. So it won't be any cost to the counties.
All right. Well, currently, what can happen if a dangerous dog is taken in by the SPCA?
The dog's owner has to request a hearing within, I believe, 5 days or 7 days.
A hearing where?
Well,
before whom?
Before the dangerous dog panel, composed of 5 members.
The one that exists now under the state.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the requirements for membership to that panel are not changed under HB 419. There has to be a law enforcement officer, a veterinarian, a representative from Delaware Humane, American Kennel Club, and an animal behaviorist, or I forget all the statutory requirements. They meet in, typically they meet in Kent County, a central location for all the panel members, and they have a hearing where the dog owner can try to say that my dog is not dangerous.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And then the panel can make the decision of whether to declare the dog potentially dangerous, or dangerous and order euthanasia if, for instance, it's had one bite or one attack previously.
And the idea is for us to set up our own local panel?
No, ma'am. The idea is for each county to select a representative to vote.
Oh, one representative.
To vote on the membership of the statewide panel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Each county gets a vote whenever
majority
a seat
rules.
Comes open.
All right.
So the panel is set up, the guidelines are set up, the benchmarks for which you have to have it set up, and it'll be a majority rule with the 3 counties that decide mm-hmm. what person would fill that particular seat.
All right. Thank you.
So any other questions?
So if my guard dog happens to bite the thief, I could get in some trouble and lose my dog.
You cannot.
No.
Because there's an exception for a dog which bites somebody who invades your property, or, for instance, comes onto your property and is teasing the dog. But if somebody comes on to into your yard and is going to break in, then there's an absolute defense in the statute.
So I got to prove that they were really trying to break in. Of course, they're going to lie and say,
no, all you have to do is show that it occurred on your property.
Okay, good.
It's kind of a situation, Councilman Wilson, if you were off your property or your dog was off your property and went over to the neighbors or something and bit one of the neighbor's kids or something like that.
Then you've got a problem, but if the attack's on your property or if somebody comes and starts teasing your dog with a stick or whatever, then that's an exception also.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks for coming back.
No problem. Mm-hmm. I hope I don't have to come back again. You all get tired of seeing me.
You're always welcome.
Thank you. Well,
my request would be to Mr. Lee back there, he's listening. All this legislation dealing with dog, why don't you just see if you can come up with some legislation that gives dog control to the county and then let us make the rules? Because it seems like there's a lot of rules being made up in Dover.
Mr. Cole, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Under HB 419, each county now has the authority or would have the authority to adopt its own ordinances or regulations regarding
it frees
dogs.
Us up a little bit. Or it seems like you're being mandated a lot of this stuff. Just
over and above what the... Yeah, if you want to make the dog laws more restrictive than those that are in HB 419, feel free. You have the authority to do that under the, pending bill.
Right.
How about if we want to make them less restrictive?
That's what I was leading at. Maybe there are some of them we don't even like. We would like to eliminate. So I was just. It would be nice just if you're going to dump it in our lap, dump it and let us sort it out. But
the way it was done is it establishes the benchmark. So you get a certain level, and then you can go above that.
You can't do below though.
You can't do below mm-hmm. that. Right. Now, if you want to come back to the legislature at some point in time and change that, that's entirely up to y'all.
Why do you do that? Why do you feel that we are incapable of governing ourselves when we are actually paying for this program?
The bill.
It's not a matter of whether we feel that you're not capable of legislating yourself.
Come on up. I think the public wants to hear this answer.
Pardon?
To the microphone, please.
It's not an issue we think you're not capable. Is there was a standard that was set, and we can't deviate from the standard. And that's what the legislature set the standard some time ago for dog control. And that's
back when they were paying for it.
But it's not them. It's the legislature. They're just doing what the legislature has directed. If it's more the legislature could say, here, Sussex County, take it and go with it. But right now, they're just under the direction.
All we're doing is transferring the dog control as it sets right now to you all.
Right.
The same dog control that we have and have had for a number of years.
Right.
And there's a standard of level control, and then that's what we're transferring to you.
And if we want to change it, we have to go to the legislature, is what you're saying.
Yeah, if you want to make it less
if
restrictive.
If you want less restrictive.
Right.
Or
if
less restrictive.
Parts of it we don't like, we still have to go back and
You can go back.
And forth.
But it's essentially the same law that everybody's operating under right now. We have added some provisions to make it easier for folks, for instance, to collect the fines that arise from offenses in Sussex County, get redirected here rather than to Denrec to shift over
well,
to
we,
the SPCA.
We appreciate those crumbs, but they don't hardly pay for this program. My point is, you have shifted the cost of this program to the county. Why not shift full authority to create the laws that govern the program?
And if this
bill is defeated, in essence, isn't that what occurs?
We don't have the authority to. I don't have the authority to come to you and deregulate
anything.
Or deviate the standards that are already established.
But if this bill fails, in essence, isn't that what occurs?
If this bill fails, we'll be operating under the same pretense that we're operating under right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to end up in a situation is that we've given you all the money that we've had, that we've collected over the years to take care of the dangerous dog portion or anything like that under our shop.
How much money is
we've
that,
we've transferred
Mr. Baker?
All that to you.
How much is that?
That's
a couple $1 million?
No, right. we have a total of $70,000 in the proposed budget, but we estimate for fines and for licensing fees.
And how much is the program expected to cost us?
About $755,000.
Okay. How about if you keep your $70,000 and we take all the authority?
The bottom line on it is you've already got the vast majority of the authority, and you've already got dog control. Not to try to be blunt, but this is only the remnants that were left, the crumbs, as you mentioned a minute ago, that are left behind. I'm just trying to bring this in and line it all up so it's easier for you all to regulate it. You already got dog control.
Well, I think what we're leading up to is we'd like to, fully regulate it, have full responsibility.
I understand.
If they're going to do it, give it to us, and then maybe we can straighten out some of the financial problems.
Councilman Cole, that's something you can go back to the legislature and get tickled to death if you want to talk to them.
Mr. Lee's back there listening to this conversation. I know it's not your fault. You're just doing what you're required to do.
We're just making the transfer.
It looks like housekeeping to me. It just does. Just cleaning up the.
Well, that's what it basically is. I mean, we're just. It was an error on our part that you should have got all this the first time around.
Right, I understand.
So, anyhow.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Just a moment. I don't see.
Sam's not done yet.
You sort of abandoned your estate, not you. I'm not personally tied.
I understand
it. Sort of abandoned your responsibility, and yet, as you abandoned it, you come down here and telling us what to do, and yet you say we're going to still keep the ties to you. We don't want the responsibility of dog control. We don't want the expense of it. But yet we're going to say you still have to follow our rules and regulations.
What we're doing is we're not abandoning anything. We're just doing the transfer. And we've given you the standard. And what's happened is Delaware is one of the last, if not the last state in the country, and I think the only state in the country that has control with dogs. Usually it's on a county or a municipal level. It's on a lower level. They found in many cases that dog control can be done much better on a smaller level. You know, the state level type of thing is a little bit more difficult. If you get it down to a municipality or a county type of level, it's in a better situation.
I'll buy that. Now, while we're on that little thing, you tell our these people making these decisions that we can govern better from the smaller government. You remind them when they're trying to take our recorder deeds and register wills.
I don't have anything to do with that, Councilman Wilson. I understand where you're coming from, but I have nothing to do with that one.
All
we'll
right.
have to ask Biff to come down front and talk, have that conversation. Maybe we won't today.
Right.
But
thank you.
Again, I appreciate the opportunity coming down, and again, it was a courtesy type of thing, let you know what's going on.
Good to see you.
We're moving
thank
forward
you.
With
thank
it,
you,
Senator.
You.
Senate. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Goblin.
Mr. Goblin, before you start, could you make sure that you get with Representative Lee and get this all corrected by next Wednesday night?
No problem. We'll take care of it.
And take care of paramedics, too. I believe
sure.
That's another unfunded mandate.
We'll take care of that, too. Thank you. So I, before I leave today, I would like to get direction from you as to where we stand on 419, the bill that we just discussed about dogs, whether I should oppose that or...
Okay, you have current directive unless I hear a motion, a second, and okay. three votes.
Okay.
I will open the floor if there is discussion.
I'm not opposed to 419 at this time. It's been explained. It's housekeeping as far as I'm concerned.
It's probably not a big deal, gentlemen and ladies, but it's I think it's the issue of just what we had this last conversation about, just the whole big picture. And the big picture is not a pretty picture, I don't think.
No.
And, I think we could do a better job. Like Sam says, we can control it better and just dump it all in our lap. If they're going to dump it, dump it. So I don't know. Opposition is just a token opposition at this point on this portion of it, I guess. But.
Okay.
Okay.
For lack of a motion, we will move on.
Okay. As I was explaining before I sat down, House Bill 449, this is the bill that will change in our code the word representative to council so that our appointees for the Planning and Zoning Commission are appointed based on council district. That's the one I was talking about when I sat down. That bill is in committee, and I expect it to be released from committee today.
What number is that on?
449. That's House Bill 449. Okay. I've spoken to the committee members, and they understand that it's simply making a correction of wording. So, okay. House Bill 442 is a bill that Newcastle County was very anxious to have passed, or to have us join them in opposing, relating to sewer services and their authority to control sewer in Newcastle County. I've been assured by the primary sponsor, Representative Walls, that this bill is going to be tabled today while the House is in session. So that will remove our concern about that bill. The next four bills on my report, House Bill 465, House Joint Resolution 12, House Bill 468, and House Joint Resolution 13, were all tabled in committee last Wednesday, partially thanks to Councilman Wilson and Dave Baker, our county administrator. There was quite a display of county elected officials and administrators in the committee meeting last Wednesday. And I'm happy to report that the committee leadership was agreeable to the county's positions on this bill, on these four bills, and decided to table those bills at this time. These were the bills that would have removed from us the recorder of deeds and register of wills, and it would have ended those offices being elected positions. So I don't think we're going to see more from those bills this year, but I will continue to watch them to make sure they're not lifted from the table in that committee. That was a very good day for us last Wednesday, by the way.
Sure was.
And I really appreciate Sam's assistance, because I have to tell you, having the elected officials there makes a big difference. All three counties had elected officials there to show support. House Bill 476 is not a real concern to us. I just want to mention it. It's mostly aimed at the city of Wilmington. This bill talks about providing a mechanism to remove or relieve property owners from stormwater management fees. It really doesn't pertain to us, but I wanted to keep an eye on it because I know we are sensitive to stormwater issues. House Bill 466, this bill is on the House agenda today, and I plan to be there. This bill talks about dog tethering. This is one of the components I was talking with you last week about in regard to dog controls. This bill is kind of complicated in that the bill says that it would be under, with this bill in place, it would be illegal to tether your dog after 11 p.m. if it's warmer than 90 degrees outside or colder than 35 degrees outside. There was an amendment added to this bill that's now part of it. The amendment is the part about the 35 degree temperature. The point is, a tether is where you have a dog on a rope outside and he's able to tether back and forth. And this law, if it were passed, would make it illegal to tether your dog between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. outside those temperature constraints. I've been objecting to that bill based on your advice, your direction, and just wanted to make sure that you knew we are continuing to oppose that. unless you were to change your mind.
I'm getting correspondence in favor of that bill from my constituents. They feel that if you're going to complain about somebody doing that to a dog, at least you have a law that makes it illegal. You know, that's their point. But currently, evidently, we have no law against tying dogs up 24/7.
Correct.
Does that mean a dog is tethered without a doghouse? Now, if you have a doghouse and a chain, and a dog's chained to the doghouse, is that tethering?
I don't believe the bill mentions that.
Do we have a definition of tethering?
The bill says...
How about you got an air conditioning room down the other end to tether?
Yeah.
Sam, are you saying you and I are thinking alike?
Somewhere along the same...
You've come a long way, Sam.
The bill simply reads, tethering is prohibited between the hours of 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. unless the tether is used for less than a 15-minute period of time. Tethering is also prohibited when temperature is 35 degrees or lower unless the tether is used for less than 15 minutes. Then there was an amendment offered to this bill that added the other temperature or above 90 degrees.
But is a dog tied to a doghouse, is that considered tethered?
I'm not sure. I don't know what the definition of tethering is.
I wonder if any of our experts from Dover would know. I'm not going
to. Mr. Emery left.
No. Pat Emery left, right. I guess we have no other experts in the room.
Not when it comes to dog tethering. I don't claim to be a dog tethering
Mr.
expert.
Mr. Parrish, do you know anything about this issue? Never mind.
He's
a politician. He'll talk about any topic, any time, any place, anywhere. Look, he's ready to get up. He'll be on GMD tomorrow morning talking about that topic.
I'm going to continue to oppose that bill unless you tell me otherwise. I know we have one. You're hearing from your constituents. I can understand that.
They're concerned about it.
I did want to mention that the last item on my list, Senate Bill 268, I have been assured by the primary sponsor of this bill, Senator Peterson, when I was talking with her yesterday, this bill would not require us to begin doing the plumbing inspections. There was a doubt as to whether or not this bill, if it were passed, would require us to take over plumbing inspections, which we currently don't do. The state has always done the plumbing inspections, and our concern was that this bill might give us those responsibilities. I've been assured by this primary sponsor that it does not. And that is the conclusion of my legislative report and update, and I plan to visit both House and Senate chambers this afternoon, and tomorrow I have two committee meetings that I plan to attend to represent your interests.
Councilman,
any questions?
Does council have any questions for Mr. Godwin?
Just on the dog thing, there's like three or four, you know, a couple bills here right in this little packet today, all about dogs. Let's combine all this stuff and, you know, whatever. Just, that's ridiculous.
All about plumbing, I don't know if the public's aware of it, but in House Bill 72, they passed a law that prior to General Assembly, I don't know how many voted for it, I think it's majority, that they charge a $100 fee to hook up replace an old hot water heater now. Plus, they got a $50 charge to come back and inspect you. And plus, the plumber has to come in and run all around to find the permit. And if it breaks down on the weekend, I don't know how he gets that. I guess you get your hot water heater fixed on Monday.
Old bath.
So time you get done, the way I figure, it's about $200 fine to a person because his hot water heater went bad.
That's only if he calls in a plumber. If he does it himself, you can still do it yourself, right?
Can't you? Sure, but why should we be against people who want to hire a plumber?
Well, I'm not against that, but...
It's in a sense we are, because we're charging $200 extra and got to go through all this on.
We aren't. We're not charging.
We're not charging, are we?
No,
but... Same, we're not charging.
He's talking about some of the regulations that's being passed on plumbing. I was just trying to make it clear of some of the laws that they're passing.
When you go up to Dover next week, you tell them about that.
We're not going to be harmed by the bill that I was watching.
That's one that should be thrown away. House Bill 72.
So you got it. Basically... $200 extra to the consumer who hires a plumber to replace a hot water heater in government red tape and fees and permits.
I really haven't been following that bill as carefully as Councilman Wilson has, since it didn't directly relate to our decision making policies. I hadn't been following that bill carefully.
Wow.
But the reason I brought it up, it goes up on all Sussex County people this year. That's the reason I think it's important to all of us.
Right. I agree.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Representative Lee, if you've got anything to add, it might be an appropriate time.
Nothing, sir.
That's why we like you.
He's a big help.
We do.
Thanks for everything you do, Biff.
Yeah, I agree. Biff Lee is a great representative of the people.
Appreciate your common sense.
Yes. We have a public hearing scheduled at this time. Mr. Moore, would you like to take over the meeting?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.